Hello, friends. Welcome to A Lasting Love. I'm Hadley Finch, your host of a radio show that helps you create a lasting love in a happy relationship. How? My expert guests and I will reveal secrets and strategies to guide you around relationship minefields. We'll help you move from being alone or being bored to happiness and bliss. We'll help you pass love tests and develop an action plan to revive romance and spark a lasting fire of love with your partner. Today, you'll find out how to make a quantum leap to love and success in the next 12 weeks instead of the next 12 months. You know, in business, December is traditionally the best month of the year because of the year-end push to fulfill annual goals. Well, what if annual goals were a barrier to high performance all year? What if a year were no longer 12 months but 12 weeks? And the excitement, energy, and focus of the year-end push now happens continuously. Now you can achieve more in the next 12 weeks than most will achieve in a year. You can celebrate your success and refresh your focus on New Year's goals every 12 weeks when you begin to use the simple success system you'll discover during my conversation with Brian P. Moran. Brian is a corporate executive, entrepreneur, and success coach who has guided strategic breakthroughs in individuals and in Fortune 500 companies for 25 years. Brian also designed the life-changing system you're about to discover, known as the 12-week year. Welcome to A Lasting Love, Brian P. Moran.
Hey, Hadley, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We have so much to cover. I feel like we've got to talk fast. I mean, today we're going to reveal some success tools that add more passion and excitement to every week, every day, and every moment. We're going to explain how to use winning business strategies to build better relationships with everybody in your life and accomplish more of your dreams and plans in 12 weeks than most will accomplish in a year. So, Brian, how do we begin our 12-week year right now?
Well, the first thing we've got to do is we've got to get out of an annual environment. And you touched on it in your intro, Hadley. You know, most people set goals and they set them in the context of 12 months, and they may break them down quarterly and monthly, but there's still this notion of it's from January through December. And the challenge with that, and one of the things that gets in the way of that, is our thinking around that. We just call it annualized thinking. And at the heart of that is this notion that there's lots of time in a year. In January, December looks a long way off. So it's really easy to put off things and just put the activities off another day or another week and thinking, well, you know, I've got 50 more weeks or 45 more weeks or three more quarters or whatever it may be, but there's a mindset there. So the first thing is really to get out of that annualized thinking and really focus in on the next 12 weeks as the year. Because what happens is we behave differently at the end of the year than we do in the middle of the year. And the reason is there's a deadline. And for most of us, it's December 31st. It's an arbitrary deadline in the sense that everyone buys into it, but it's just a deadline that's out there. What we found is that as we remove that and we bring it closer, and we make the end of March, for instance, the deadline, the line in the sand, then that all of a sudden creates a sense of urgency and a sense of clarity around what matters most that just doesn't exist in an annual environment.
And a sense of excitement, too, I guess. You know, and that brings me up to my next point, because I know you've written that if you're lacking passion in your relationship or in your business, it is not a crisis of passion. It's a crisis of vision. So can you tell us how to create a vision that's so powerful that we're going to leap over any obstacle that stands in our way of achieving it?
Yeah, you bet. The first thing is if you think about areas you're passionate in, it's because there's a vision there. And that's why I say it's not a crisis of passion, it's a crisis of vision. How you create a powerful vision that will help you leap over obstacles is really the first thing is that you've got to connect emotionally with it. It's got to be a positive connection, an emotional connection sort of in your soul, if you will, about what you desire. And the more compelling that is, the more real that is, the more emotion behind it, then the more powerful that vision is. People that have a powerful vision like that kind of bulldoze through the obstacles. It's not that it erases the obstacles. It just, in a sense, makes it where they don't matter, because you're going to find a way through them, over them, around them, under them. And so the first piece is really making sure that there's an emotional connection, that you tap into what you really desire, that there's a strong, compelling desire there. And then once we have that, the key is to stay connected with it. So envisioning the future the way you want it, you know, seeing it in your mind's eye if you're visual, feeling it if you're kinesthetic, sort of using the words if you're auditory, but connecting with it in every sensory way that you can. The more sensory rich it is, the more powerful it'll be. And so connecting with that daily, going back to sort of mentally standing that ground and seeing yourself where you want to be, living that vision, standing that vision, and whatever that looks like, and that your relationships really look this way, and how does that feel?
Right? You know, I'm remembering that Arnold Schwarzenegger once said in 1976, this is how he planned to be the number one box office star in America. He said, what you do is create a vision of who you want to be and then live into that picture as if it were already true. And you're saying also just add all of your sensory perceptions, that you're living it, you're feeling it, you're giving thanks for it, you're enjoying it already before it's even happened. And then it just, your brain gets behind it and makes it all happen.
Yeah, otherwise what happens is it's always out there sometime in the future. So you need to bring it into the present, and that's what Arnold was talking about. Otherwise you never get there. So at some point, if I say to myself, hey, you know, I want to be this loving man, this loving husband, at one level that says I'm not that currently. And as long as I continue to live into that, I'll never get there. So I've got to change that conversation. That vision has to be I am.
I am is important. Exactly. You already are these things, and you're just more of them every day.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I love that. So once, let's say we have a clear, powerful vision, we need a plan to get there. So some of us spend more time planning a vacation than planning for greater love and success. So tell us how we develop our plans to achieve our best dreams in the next 12 weeks.
Well, the first is what we found is that less is more. And that's kind of one of the oxymorons in life, is that, you know, we're all sort of encouraged by society to want it all. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we try and have it all at one time, it's diffusing. And it can be very frustrating. So our recommendation, our experience is let's focus in on a couple areas. So once we're clear on what that vision looks like, let's pick one, two, maybe three areas that we really want to bring near term into the 12 weeks and establish some solid goals and then build some actions around. And when we talk about the actions, Hadley, we're not just a laundry list of all the things you could do, but what we call critical few. You know, of all the things you could do, what are the three or four actions that are going to have the greatest impact in the area that you want to achieve in? And then spelling those out in a way that really defines what it is you need to do. What's the action you need to take on a daily basis or a weekly basis for each of those goals? And that's why, you know, less is more. Having that focus where there's just a couple areas that we're really trying to move the needle in, if you will, as opposed to trying to move the needle in 10 different areas where we're going to end up diffused, we're going to end up mediocre at best. Let's be great in a few areas versus mediocre
that.
Many.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right, so, you know, we plan for the future, but we implement every day. So if we're going to be great in a few areas, how do we take the best actions every day to be great in those areas and make our vision come true?
That's a great question, and it's a critical one, because in the end, you know, we have greater control over our actions than we do our outcomes. It's our actions that create our outcomes. So the first piece is going back to the planning that we just talked about, being very clear on what those actions are. And, you know, if you want something you don't currently have, you're going to have to do something you're not currently doing. So more than likely, if you want to create something in your life you don't have, those actions in your plan are going to be things you haven't done before or haven't been consistent at. Those are going to create some discomfort for you on a daily, weekly basis. In fact,
yeah, get out of your comfort zone to actually make some positive changes.
Absolutely. And in the moment, it's hard. Because in the moment, you know, the tendency is we're all wired for comfort, and the tendency is to choose those things that I'm familiar with, to choose the things that are comfortable, where new activities have some risk. There's the fear of the unknown. There's just the discomfort of doing something that you're not really good at yet. So having that clear plan and then having it written. So, you know, you take that 12-week plan. Now you look at it on a weekly basis and say, okay, of this 12-week plan, what are the things that I've got to do this week? And that's my roadmap for the week. And every day, that's what I'm checking in with and saying, okay, was I faithful to do these things? Did I, you know, if I'm trying to build the relationship with my wife, in my example, you know, did I do the things that were in my plan to build that relationship, or did I choose to do the easy things, like come home and just, you know, turn on the TV and flop on the couch? And so having that clearly in front of me and monitoring it day in and day out, you know, am I doing those things or am I choosing other things? If I'm choosing other things, why? And that's also why, you know, having a compelling emotional vision is important, because when I'm choosing those other things, I will feel the pain of that. I'll feel the pain of disconnect from the life I want to live.
And, you know, I always say there's a relationship compass, and it keeps you on the happiness track. And we're here to experience pleasure and joy and love, and anything that takes you away from that, you know you're getting off track. So if you do keep your eye on that inner truth detector and that inner feeling that, are your choices making you feel better, and are they good for your well-being? If you can stay on task like that, then you know you're on the right track.
Yeah, I like that. I kind of use the notion of, is it bringing out the best in me? Are my activities and my vision bringing out the best in me? Are they demanding the best in me in whatever area I'm applying it?
Well, I like that too, but this also takes a commitment. So let's talk about, if we're committed to being great or to excellence, tell us, there are four successful keys of how to fulfill a commitment. So let's refresh everybody's memory. You've talked about some of them, but let's just talk about all four keys right now.
Okay, great. Yeah, I would say that, you know, the thing I like to say is there's a big difference between interest and commitment. Right, when we're interested, we do it with circumstance permit. When we're committed, we make it happen. And those four keys are critical. The first is, we've already touched on it with vision, it's a strong desire. If the desire's not strong, if it's not compelling, then I'm going to do it when circumstances permit, and kind of interest again. If
you
it's
know
strong,
what, and if it's a strong why, it seems like the how just manifests.
It does. It does. And that's what we're talking about, that desire, that why. The why am I willing to do this? Why am I willing to be uncomfortable? Why am I willing to step out on new ground that's unfamiliar? Why am I willing to try some new things? Without that, the rest of it breaks down. So that's the first step. The second is then, as we talked about in the planning, is getting very clear on the actions. What are the things that are really going to drive the success I'm looking for? And the critical few. I don't need a lot of them. Just the powerful ones. The third key then is to count the costs. And this is an area where a lot of people get tripped up. This is where New Year's resolutions break down. People say, hey, I want to lose weight, or I want to improve this relationship, but they never really count the costs. And what I mean by that is, to be great takes sacrifice. And so what am I going to sacrifice? What am I going to have to give up? What am I going to have to stop doing? What am I going to have to do less of? What am I going to have to do more of? You know, what are the costs? So if I want to improve my relationship, you know, I'm going to have to plan some things to do with my wife. I might have to do some things that she likes that maybe I'm not all that fond of initially, right? Those are some of the costs that I would need to look at, the emotional costs, the physical costs. I might, you know, have to spend some money on a trip and some things like that, whatever it may be. But what are the costs of taking that action consistently?
Now, I look at that as an investment that brings great rewards. So it's more, instead of cost, like you're losing it, you're investing in something that's really going to give you great benefits.
I agree with that, but I have to be willing to make that investment, right? I have to be willing to make
true.
That trade-off in the moment.
Yes,
and what I
true.
Don't want to do is not have thought through it and then be surprised with it in the moment.
Okay.
And probably the best example I could give is if I were looking to get in shape, you know, one of the costs is I'm going to have to get up in the morning and get out of bed. Well, I don't want to make that decision in the morning when the alarm goes off and the bed's warm and it's cold outside, I want to look at that up front and say, okay, am I willing to pay that cost? Now, one of the great things with the 12-week year is I'm not saying I'm going to pay that cost for a lifetime or even 12 months. I'm committing to 12 weeks.
And
I'm
doable. That's like you can see the finish line ahead of you, and that's exciting.
Yeah, that's the breakthrough, isn't it? Right?
Right.
So I can say, hey, I can do anything for 12 weeks. And then at the end of those 12 weeks, I'm going to assess. Maybe I sign up for the same commitment. Maybe I move on. Which leads us kind of to the fourth key, which is really once you make those commitments, to act on your commitments and not your feelings. Because all of your listeners know there are days you just don't feel like doing it. But what separates mediocre from great is you do it anyways, even on the days or the times you don't feel like it. And so kind of building support systems around you, whether that's a buddy, whether that's, you know, going back to that plan and looking at it and checking on it daily and weekly. But just make the decision that no matter how you feel, you're going to take that action.
Well, this is good. And when I want to talk about next about some success tools that we can use each day to create a habit of success. But first, I want to remind you that you're listening to A Lasting Love on WebTalkRadio.net. I'm Hadley Finch, and you can find out more about me in hundreds of my articles about love and relationships and in my novel with songs, Tribe of Blondes, all available at tribeofblondes.com. I named the Tribe of Blondes after the resilient, positive spirit that unites us, helps us overcome challenges, love deeply, and live our dreams now. Singles meet your perfect love match in the holistic dating and travel site I started for positive singles at tribeofsingles.com. Are you thinking of making it official? If so, you need the knot.com. Sign up on the knot.com with your wedding date, and we'll send you a point-by-point to-do list from invitations to thank you notes. The knot.com, we've got you covered. Do you need a vacation? Visit Dream Travel at dreamprices.com and find out how to enjoy the most romantic spots in the world on a shoestring budget. Dream Travel at dreamprices.com, your source of great getaways you can't afford to miss. My guest is Brian P. Moran. He created the popular and proven system, the 12-week year. So where can our listeners find you online, Brian? If they want to find out how to do this 12-week year, I know you have a book and a whole program.
I do, and you know what we decided to do is make it available to your listeners as a gift at no charge through an e-book. And the best way to get that is to go to actually your website, tribeofblondes.com, and look for, I think we'll have a picture of the book up there and a link that you can click that will take you to where you can download the e-book free of charge. Normally, a hard copy is $13, $14, but it's free for your listeners. So
I
really want to make that available.
Awesome. I have read your book a couple times, and I encourage everybody to take advantage of that offer. It will really change your life in wonderful ways, and you'll have fun doing this. And besides that, you can celebrate New Year's Eve four times a year, and you only age 1 year in the whole process.
That's right. There you go.
So there's a benefit there.
I'm going to have to get a testimonial from you on that. That would be great.
Okay, let's get back to business here. Aristotle said that we are what we repeatedly do, and that means that success isn't an act, but it's a habit. So we want to get in the habit of using these tools, and tell us the tools we need and the habit we need to create.
Yeah, I love that quote. A friend of mine says, successful people aren't successful part of the time. Successful people are successful all of the time. And it's really using tools and things that you have available to you to help you be your best day in and day out. Part of that would be, you know, that plan, the plan that you create, using that on a daily, weekly basis. Most people write a plan and then it sits there collecting dust. And having a plan is worthless unless you implement it. So the only reason we write a plan is to help us implement and to know what to do. So do more than just create the plan. Make it a living document or a piece of paper that goes with you. My plan goes with me everywhere I go because I know if I execute the things in my plan, I'm standing the ground. I'm living the life I want to live. And I know that at the end of 12 weeks, I'm going to be where I want to be, which is aligned with my longer-term vision. So there's a clear sense for me, a clarity around what matters most, and then with the 12-week year, a sense of urgency to do it. In addition to that, another tool is at the end of that week just creating a success scorecard, measuring really two things. One would be my execution or my implementation. Did I do what was in my plan? And again, that's probably the most effective measure because that's what we have the greatest control over. Did I take the actions that I said were really important this week? The second piece of the success scorecard is then measuring my progress in terms of results. So did I execute it, yes or no? What kind of results did I get as well? Did I see some movement in the area that I'm working on? Again, whether it's a relationship, whether it's weight loss, whatever it may be, tracking the progress I'm making along the way. And so that success scorecard is really critical. That's the feedback mechanism, if you will, that allows you to make game time adjustments. So even in a 12-week year, things change. And some of the things that you will come up with in your plan, your activities, will be spot on. They'll work just the way you thought they would. Others aren't going to. And the only way you know is you have to execute it and then measure it. And so,
and you know, it's good to keep, to write down your successes because what you focus on grows and success promotes success. And if you are focused on that, you'll just keep doing more of that. And in fact, there's an acronym for FOCUS, which is follow one course until successful. And that's really what you're guiding people to do for these 12 weeks, to follow this one course of this plan until successful.
Absolutely. And I like that because there's a tendency, too, if we're goal-oriented, that we never get there. Because as soon as we get there, there's a new there. So really recognizing the progress you're making, not only in the results, but also in your character as you learn to be great in the moment. Right, and do the things you need to do. That in and of itself is success. The results will come. If we're great in the moment, we can't help but see that in the results down the road. But so often results are lag. I do this activity today. I don't necessarily get a result today. It may be weeks before it shows up. And oftentimes, Hadley, people give up on it too soon. And so recognizing that success in the moment, and celebrating that, celebrating the progress. It doesn't have to be perfect. We just want to be moving forward, moving in the direction of our vision.
I totally support that. The success is in taking the action, taking the step in the journey that leads to the destination, but the journey is the joy. So tell me about, you wrote something in the book called, I think it was periodization, that you focus on one skill at a time.
Yeah, that's a concept. That's where the 12-week year concept came from. Periodization was an athletic training technique developed in Eastern Europe in the 70s, still widely used today in a lot of sports, a lot of endurance sports. And in athletics, what it does is it focuses on one particular skill or discipline for a period of time, usually 4 to 6 weeks. And we saw that. We said that has applicability for what we're trying to help people be more successful. And that's how we figured out, you know, we need to get out of this annual environment. We need to narrow the scope and the time frame so that there's a sense of urgency and clarity on what matters most. And so periodization is just a word most people are unfamiliar with, but that's really what our process is. It's periodization and the 12-week year. I mean, so
okay,
we applied what
was
used. Okay,
so it's like the focus that we talked about, follow one course until successful.
That's it.
Okay, yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, well, the good news is that we now know about the 12-week year, yet there is a big difference between knowing and doing. So, Brian, if you would take a moment and just give us a quick checklist of things that we can do right now to begin our 12-week year today.
Okay, great. I'm going to give you 6 things. Now, that sounds like a lot, but they're very simple things. And I promise you, if you take these actions, it will have an amazing impact. The first is your vision. Take some time, set some time aside, and envision a future for you that's compelling. That's a life that you want to live. Not a life that's good, but a life that's great. God willing, we're going to be here in the future. Let's make it a great future. Start by looking out 3 years and saying, okay, what would a great life look like in all the areas that matter? Then the second step is to bring that near term and establish one, two, maybe three at the most, 12-week goals from that vision, so that those goals are aligned with that vision, so that you know if you're where you need to be at the end of 12 weeks that you're living that vision. The third step then is to develop the plan for each of the goals. What are the actions, the critical few actions to achieve those 12-week year goals? And again, less is more. If you can accomplish the goal with three actions, you don't need four. If you can do it with four, you don't need five. So you may have to brainstorm a bunch of them and then pick through what are the ones that are going to have the greatest impact.
Okay, this is all doable.
Yeah, it's all doable. That's what you'll find. It takes some effort, but it's doable.
Well, I like the thing about dream big, too.
Yeah, that's where it all starts.
Yes, because
I
know that
high performance starts.
Dr. Ornish proved that big changes are easier to implement than little ones when he was trying to get people to change their lifestyle after a heart attack.
Yeah, that's a great study if people haven't seen that as well. They should Google Dr. Ornish and look at that.
Right.
Okay.
So let's go to number four.
Then, step four is execute weekly. You know, don't let the plan sit in a folder somewhere. Look at it every week. Look at it every day. Because that ultimately is what's going to keep you focused on executing. So no matter what else happens in the week, make sure those key actions that are in your plan take place.
Now, here's one thing I'd like to add to that. A great way to end a day is to just reflect on the successes and the strides and the progress you made in the day. So maybe jot those things down in your plan to just, you know, pat yourself on the back and just say, good job. Every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like the notion of starting and ending the day with something positive.
Exactly.
So, you know, I start the day with a little devotional. We end the day, my wife and I, when we lay down in bed, we talk about what were the things that happened today that were really great. And that's the way we end the day, kind of what you're saying, Hadley, is let's review. And I like your notion of actually writing them down, keeping a success journal.
Yes. In fact, I have this new Power Relationships for Greater Success and Love, a program, and there are success journals in there, too, that I just want people to get in a habit of focusing and just what you focus on grows, and focus on love and success, and you will grow that in your life in every moment. So
yeah, I think that fosters the attitude of gratitude as well. Otherwise, you lose sight of all the blessings that you have and all the things that are working right, and then we get really kind of anxious about the 10% that doesn't look the way I want it to when the other 90% is really working great. And so I
know.
Love that.
I agree. All right, what's step number five then?
Step five is measure. Use the success scorecard on a weekly basis. You know, track, am I doing the things I said I need to do, and what's my progress? And then step six is an easy one, but it's one that's often overlooked. Celebrate. Celebrate the progress. Celebrate the success. If nothing else, with the 12-week year, you'll have, you know, three or four more times in the course of 12 months to celebrate and recognize your progress at a minimum. I'd encourage you to do it daily and weekly as well, though. Don't wait till things are perfect. Don't wait till you're there to celebrate it. Learn to celebrate life.
Celebrate joy in each moment. There's always something. Even in a challenging time, there is always a joyful silver lining if you look for it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So learn to celebrate those. So those are the six steps.
And do you have anything, let's say, for someone who's single and looking for love, do you have any suggestion on using this 12-week year, this system?
Yeah, one, I think, Hadley, you have some great resources. So that's the first place I'd go to look to those resources to build my plan. So, you know, figure out where it is I want to be at the end of 12 weeks around that and use some of the resources at Tribe of Blondes and some of the other resources you have to help me build my plan around that. And kind of go back to the things we talked about, having a vision that brings out the best in you, looking for, you know, what is it that you want in a relationship where the relationship, you know, is really thriving and it's passionate and both parties are engaged and loving it and finding joy from it. And then identifying the actions that are going to drive that. You know, what situations do you need to put yourself in to meet those kind of folks? How do you foster those types of relationships? How do you give in a way that other people, you know, are attracted to you and want to be around you?
Well, you know, we've talked about this. I help people become a love magnet, and really by feeling healthy self-love and feeling gratitude, these feelings attract love like a love magnet. So just doing this process and following the system that you set out, it will transform your life in just wonderful ways. So I encourage everyone to go to, I guess you're setting this up on tribeofblondes.com, and we'll put an image of your book, The 12-Week Year, and maybe we'll put your photo up there too, Brian, so they know
all right.
who you are. And then people can get a free book and start implementing immediately and just transforming your life right now. I'm excited for everyone to do this.
Yeah, Hanley, I think you said something really critical, which is starting right now. Don't wait. The time is never just right. The time to start is now with where you're at. You know, I see a lot of people just wishing their situation was different and kind of waiting to start until something's different. You are where you are. It is what it is. Just start today. Don't put it off. You know, too many diets start on Monday and they never start. So if it's important to you, start today. You don't need any tools to begin to do some work on the vision. You don't need to wait till tomorrow or this weekend. Take a few minutes right now. Maybe you're driving, maybe you're at home, but whatever. Take a few minutes and start to think about 3 years from now, what would a great life look like? You know, what does a great relationship look like for me?
Right. What great advice. On that note, Brian, I want to thank you, Brian P. Moran, for your generous sharing of all these success tools and the system that we can use to accomplish our annual plans, dreams, and goals every 12 weeks in our 12-week year. So thank you, Brian, and I wish you many Happy New Years this year.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Oh, good. And before I say goodbye, I'd like to remind you that we used to make great things happen at year-end, and now you have the success tools to make great things happen continuously throughout the year. Greatness begins by focusing on your 12-week plan and using your success tools to make it happen. You can make your relationships a 10 out of 10 every week when you use the right tools. And I'd like to give you the guidance and success tools you need to build better relationships with everyone in your life when you begin to power your relationships for greater success and love. You can find out how you can join our exciting program when you visit GreaterSuccessAndLove.com. I'm Hadley Finch, encouraging you to love deeply and live your dreams now. You'll discover exciting ways to do this in each episode of A Lasting Love on WebTalkRadio.net.